0879 Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's restore godly masculinity to God's house.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Tuesday. We have a guest tomorrow evening, so we're going to have open lines tonight, and we welcome your calls here at 1-888, that's 888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I thought we'd just, I'll start out talking about the economy. Certainly it's fascinating as we read the statistics, but they design these statistics so you really can't quite figure out what they say. Now, they will acknowledge that 9.5% unemployment, but what does that really mean in human beings? How many human beings are actually out of work today? And the figure is almost 15 million. Now, those are the people who are frankly out of work. Then there's another 9 million who are suddenly underemployed or have given up looking for employment. You're talking almost 24 million people, Americans, who are really having real problems that had to cut back dramatically on their lifestyle, living on unemployment, or I don't know how they're living, but the real human tragedy of what's going on today. We know that last year about 2.25 million people lost their homes. So far this year, about 1.8 million people have lost their homes, and about 2.5 million people foreclosures in process. Another 250,000 homes are entering the foreclosure process every single month. A great human tragedy, and believe me, we got a lot longer to go as more and more people lose their jobs, and even though they may have had prime loans, why they can't keep up with their payments, and they're going to lose their homes. And what's the Obama administration doing? Well, they're talking a good game. They've got to try to convince you they're trying to do something, but you have to understand it is all symbolism over substance. It's all rhetoric over reality. It's all apparently they're trying to do something, because it would be too horrible to contemplate that they're really not trying to solve the problem. They really want the whole economy to collapse, but that's exactly what's going on. We're told that the big banks just don't have any money to lend, that they just don't have the money. This is why we had to give them the TARP funds, and then they gave the TARP funds back. And then, of course, we gave Goldman Sachs $12.5 billion. How did we do that? Why, Henry Paulson, who came from Goldman Sachs, said that some institutions are just too large to fall. So he put a man named Liddy in charge of AIG, the American Investment Group. Then we gave them $180 billion. Now, Liddy had strong ties to General Motors, Goldman Sachs. And so what does this guy with strong ties to Goldman Sachs do? He gives Goldman Sachs $12.5 billion. $12.5 billion, another $12.5 billion to his friends over there, J.P. Morgan Chase, and I've forgotten how many billion dollars they gave away to the big corporations. The Henry Paulson, they all tie into the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. You're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth you've ever seen. And what is the outcome of this? Why, Goldman Sachs is going to give $20 billion in bonuses to its employees. Certainly, J.P. Morgan Chase, about $11 or $12 billion in bonuses to employees. But they don't have any money to lend to the struggling businesses, which are just closing down all across America. Ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with this picture? And the truth of the matter is they all tie into this. The International Finance Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Brotherhood of Darkness, that are intent upon destroying our economy and bringing about a world government. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, that's sort of a brief summary of what's going on today here in California, why we're having very, very real problems. And one of the most interesting things about what's taking place in California is that the major banks, and we're talking about Bank of America, we're talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, we're talking about Bancor, we're talking about Wells Fargo, and other major banks in California will not accept California's IOUs. Now, why not? I mean, they'll accept the fraudulent money that's put out by the Fed. Why won't they put the money, accept the IOUs of the state of California, at least to tide us over until we can come up with a budget here and start, you know, paying our bills with real money? And, of course, the thing is, of course, that the major banks want to collapse this economy. California has the eighth largest economy in the entire world. Do you know a better way to begin to bring down the whole world economy than what they're doing here in California? And, of course, people are getting paid in IOUs, and the banks don't know what to do with them. The small banks, some of them are taking them, others are not. Certainly they're offering, paying, I think, 3.5% annual interest on it. They're supposed to start redeeming them in October. But is California going to be able to redeem its bonds? I mean, certainly the rating on the bonds for California has been decreased from a triple A rating down, I think, to a B or triple B or B minus, somewhere in there. They're not much better than junk bonds. And this is not just California. It's many of our states, other states, and many of our municipalities. California, when Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor, their budget was about $92 billion a year. After 6 years of Arnold, and I'm not blaming this all on Arnold, the state budget was $142 billion. They increased the state budget over $15 billion in simply 5 years, totally irresponsible spending on the part of the Democrat majority. But why not? They were giving the money to the people who gave them money to get elected. They were giving it to the state employees. And, of course, the state employees union, whether it be the Prison Guards Association or the California Teachers Association or the other state unions, were giving large sums of money to the politicians to get them elected so they would give them more money. This is what's wrong with this whole concept of socialism. As Margaret Thatcher said, what's wrong with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. And right now they've run out of money to spend. And we're looking at a very grim future here in California and versus a nation as a whole. As the federal government is talking about increasing taxes, a means of solving our problem, and that won't help us. That'll just make matters worse. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line, and we invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're simply talking about how the Obama plan to increase taxes. And, of course, he's already said he's going to increase taxes on those who make over $250,000. But after all, they have so much more money and they could afford to pay more in taxes. And we're going to raise their tax rate from about 36% to 39%. And then we're going to start coming in with a national health program. And, of course, that national health program is going to be dependent upon taxing the wealthy even more. I mean, somebody's got to pay for the national health program, and don't we need to do something about the health of our nation? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Actually, Obama says that the way that we're going to bring down our deficit is to spend more money on health. Now, that sounds logical, doesn't it? That's about as logical as what Obama says, that he's going to protect the privacy of the American people because he knows we want to preserve our privacy. He's going to preserve our privacy by putting our medical records on the Internet. In a similar manner, he's going to bring down government spending by bringing in a system of socialized medicine. Of course, he's going to call it national health care. How is it going to be financed? Why? We're going to add on taxes to, say, to employers. And if employers don't provide free medical care for their employees, why, they're going to have to put in an extra 8% or 8 or 9% of whatever they payroll. They're just going to have to give it to the state so that they can provide the free health care so that everybody in America will have health care. If you look and see, and there's an editorial in today's Wall Street Journal, July 14th, on the editorial page, they're talking about what's going to happen to taxes under the Obama administration. And with federal and state taxes, why, of course, this will go up to about 58%. 58% income tax. Ladies and gentlemen, are you going to invest your money? Are you going to take a chance, you know, on risking your money so that you can pay a 58% tax to the Obama administration? And they know very well when you increase the taxes, the federal income goes down. And when you decrease the taxes, the federal income goes up. And, of course, the difficulty that we're facing today and a very real problem is that the worst thing you can do in a recession is to raise taxes because you discourage investment. And, of course, what we need are jobs. That's what they tell us, but they really don't want jobs. They're doing everything they can to transfer America's manufacturing and America's wealth to other countries. And you haven't seen anything yet. This new energy program is going to double or triple the cost of your electricity. It's going to destroy twice as many jobs, over twice as many jobs as it has elsewhere. They tried it in Spain. It was a disaster. So what are we going to do? We're going to embrace the same failed program they had in Spain right here in the United States, unless, of course, there's an outcry from the American people. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. We'll talk about what you want to, and we've got Bill on the way. Bill is here from Tennessee. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. I'd just like to get you to comment on a couple of things. You're talking about the federal government, and this supposedly was brought into existence by the states to secure the natural rights of the people. And there are certain things stated in the Constitution, that there'll be no involuntary servitude. And yet we have this GIVE Act recently, which says there's going to be national service. In other words, the Obama administration, the first black president, has reinstated slavery.
I share your concern. I share your concern. I think that all of this legislation, this whole idea, we want voluntary compulsory government service.
Yeah,
well, you can't have voluntary service if it's compulsory, but then you can't have, you know, preservation of the security of our medical records by putting them on the Internet, and you sure can't, of course, decrease the cost of health care by bringing in a socialized medical system. So they say one thing, they do exactly the opposite, and I share your concern, but you have to understand that what they're really trying to do is deceive the American people. And so many people, you know, influenced by the media, honestly believe that Obama represents something new, represents the black people. He doesn't. He represents the people of great wealth who put him in power. There are 11 members of the Trilateral Commission. There's only 87 of them at the present time in the entire United States. And yet 11 of them are the ones who are controlling the Obama administration. That's, of course, not as bad as it was with Carter. There were only 80 members of the Trilateral Commission when Jimmy Carter became president. And 28 of them held key positions in the Carter administration. It's just that all the key positions in the Obama administration are people from this little clique whose dedication is to the destruction of America and the bringing about of a one-world government and a one-world religion. And the average individual doesn't understand, Bill, and you've got to help us educate them.
All right, and the other point is, if the government is actually trying to preserve and protect the natural rights of the people, another part of the Constitution says the people will be secure in their persons and homes and so on. And yet, they're saying they're going to mandate this vaccination here in a month or two. And I'd like for you to comment on this, because they seem to have so much concern for protecting the people that they treat them like lab rats.
Well, they do. They really have no compassion for human beings, because these people think differently than you and I do. But I will tell you that about three or four years ago, maybe 5 years ago, well, they were talking about, there could be a smallpox outbreak at any time. Somebody could steal the smallpox vaccine from the Russians, the smallpox virus from the Russians, and put an epidemic, and they wanted to mandatorily vaccinate all first providers, the people who worked in ambulances, the people who worked in, certainly in the hospitals, in the emergency rooms, police and firemen. And they just said, we're not going to take it. And they backed down. It's not like they did with the ID Act when, of course, they were going to mandate everybody was going to have a federal ID card, which was going to be their driver's license. And when a few states said, we're not going to go along with this, they backed down, and we better back down with this new vaccine they're creating because, you know, basically it's a genetically created vaccine. Do you understand what that is?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right.
I believe so. And I'd like for you, since you're a medical person, to comment and expose the falsehood that a vaccine can be created for something that hasn't even appeared or stopped mutating yet.
I think that's
all.
It's a lie.
I don't mean to be interrupting you.
No, that's all right. I think your point is well made. We don't know what form this of influenza will have when it comes back in the fall. Right now, of course, it's spreading across the southern hemisphere. And the reason it goes into the summer hemisphere in the summer is because there it's wintertime. And of course, basically, why the belief is that because you are not getting the sunlight, you're not getting the vitamin D3 manufactured by your skin, your immunity goes down and you become more susceptible to the influenza. This is a relatively new idea. It's only been around a couple of years, but this would explain why we get the influenza in the northern hemisphere in the wintertime. And when, of course, the influenza goes away in the northern hemisphere, it goes to the southern hemisphere because, of course, it's wintertime there. But right now, it's supposedly going to come back in October. Supposedly, they put out $1 billion so far to manufacture a vaccine. They put aside another $7 or $8 billion for this mandatory program. And I think we're just going to tell them, we are not going to take it. Why aren't we going to take it? Because basically, with the original polio vaccine they gave to the American people, there was a cancer virus in it. Simian virus 40, SV40, you can go up on the internet and look at it. It's a cancer-producing virus. It produces cancers in every animal. And after they gave that virus to the American people, in fact, to people all over the world, and once they knew the virus was, a cancer virus was in the vaccine, they continued administering that not only in the United States, throughout the world. And if you want to verify what I'm saying, a book authorized by the National Institute of Health titled The Health Century by William Shorter. That's The Health Century by William Shorter. And, of course, it tells the story of the cancer virus in the vaccine. And after that, of course, we had a marked increase in cancer because this produces brain cancer, bone cancer. It produces mesothelioma. Keep telling us that mesotheliomas are related to, of course, asbestos, but a lot of the people who get mesotheliomas have never been close to asbestos. But when they examine those mesotheliomas, what do you think they find? The simian virus 40, and then it produces lymphomas. All of these things have exploded. And who was punished for that? Well, the person who was punished was the person who found the cancer virus was there. Her name was Bernice Eddy. Fascinating book, The Health Century, authorized by the National Institute of Health, that tells about their crimes against humanity. And the only person punished was Dr. Bernice Eddy, who found the cancer virus. So just on that basis alone, why we could not trust them, we know that recently Baxter, one of the largest pharmaceutical countries in the world, was going to distribute millions of doses of influenza vaccine in Europe, but the Czechs actually took the vaccine and injected it into hamsters and into ferrets, I guess it was, and they all died. And then they found out that Baxter, at least Baxter said it was accidentally, had included the deadly avian flu virus. This is the one that has killed millions of birds, that actually included that in the vaccine and they were going to give to people. It wasn't a vaccine against avian flu. It was the virus that just killed millions of birds. And Baxter's excuse was, oh, shucks, it was just a mistake. Nobody was punished. If I'd been in charge, I would have canceled Baxter. I would put their people in charge in prison for endangering the life of millions of people. And simply, for those two reasons alone, we should never trust them.
Yes, sir, that's true. I caught another thing. I don't know if this is really important or not, but I read one time that margarine, oleomargarine, was developed as a means of trying to fatten up turkey.
Well, I'll tell you what, oleomargarine is the worst thing you were doing. They were telling us for years, don't have butter, don't use cream, you know, use oleomargarine. And that was exactly the wrong advice. This produces far more arteriosclerosis than regular butter does. And it took them 40 years to find out they've been lying to the American people, and the same thing is true about statin drugs. You look at the statistics, I mean, you get a 1% increased morbidity, or, you know, basically, if you look at the small print, a 1% in people live longer and don't get heart attacks or strokes. Hey, we're out of time, but thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Right now, we've got Chris calling from Michigan. Hi, Chris. How are you doing there? And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 4-
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Against revising the healthcare system. I really don't want Obamacare because it will result in rationing access to healthcare and destroy what's left of once fine medical system. We've got a lot of problems in medicine. They need to be addressed. We need to get the doctors the truth about so many of these diseases that, of course, the only information they get is the information the drug companies and the FDA wants them to get, and they're doing a lot more harm sometimes than good. But a solution is not another government program. The solution is to do away with government programs and get the truth to the people and to the doctors. But go ahead, Chris.
And, you know, me being an epileptic, I don't have any medical insurance whatsoever. And I guess underneath Obama's plan, if you've got a pre-existing condition, you know, like myself, our payments are going to be higher. Well, you know what? I am actually being punished just because I have epilepsy. You know what? I've worked all my life. I've worked for the last 20 years. And because the way things are here in Michigan, I have epilepsy. I have primary generalized epilepsy, and I have generalized. I have two types of seizures. And, you know, I had one here back in February. I actually broke a bone. I broke a bone. And I went ahead. I'm still paying for my medical bill. I'm paying it out of my pocket. I have worked for 20 years. And do you think I can do it even on my own Social Security? No. But the thing of it is that, you know, when you don't have any medical care, when you don't have any insurance, you have to work. You have to work just to get your medicine that you do need that the doctor has to prescribe. But another thing I want to tell you is here in the state of Michigan, everybody's complaining about how high our unemployment rate is, like 14-15%. When you're an epileptic, your unemployment rate, the statistic, is over 20%. The people here losing jobs, they have nothing to complain about. You know, when you have seizures, you know, our statistic is ours is over 20%. Our suicide rate among epileptics is like 70%.
I know. It's a terrible thing to have. Do they know what the cause of it is? Is it simply a primary epilepsy? Is it controlled with medication pretty well?
There's an issue with that, is that if you are on medication and your seizures are controllable on medication, you are not classified as disabled in the state of Michigan. Number two, if you're on medicine and they're still uncontrolled, you are classified then as fully disabled. You got to be on meds, you got to have so many seizures, uncontrollable seizures a day to be classified as fully disabled. I'm on medicine, mine is full, I am fully controlled. Well, my doctor, every time you have a seizure in Michigan, if you have an operator's license in the state of Michigan, and you have a seizure, you have to be off the road 6 months. That's the law here. That is the legal law.
Well, Chris, I know it's a terrible, terrible affliction. I admire you and respect you for keeping a job and for wanting to look after yourself, and I'm very much fearful that the Obama health care program will be a disaster for everybody in the country, for the elderly, for the young, specifically for the disabled, because there really is this Nazi type of mentality. People don't understand that the eugenic policies that were practiced in Nazi Germany began in the United States with Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. The laws, of course, they passed in Germany that allowed them to sterilize people and to eliminate the elderly, the disabled, and eventually the Jews and the Christians, and the gypsies were actually patterned after laws here in the United States. We did not go that far, but there are people who would like to have, certainly Margaret Sanger, and the people who financed her really want to kill off what they feel are the inferior races. Margaret Sanger actually talked about killing off the inferior races. And basically, she said she wanted to raise a race of race horses. And basically, that program is underway in America today. It is not simply by accident that almost 50% of the AIDS cases and people with HIV in the United States are in the black community? And why don't the black leaders point out that HIV, HIV disease or AIDS has a predilection for black, and of course get into the background of how this was genetically manufactured to specifically target blacks? They have the ability to engineer diseases for specific races. Chris, go ahead. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But go right ahead, Chris.
There's two things I want to highlight on. Number one, in the state of Michigan, if you have somebody that is for the general audience, if you have somebody that is an epileptic, that is seizure controlled, don't be afraid to offer them a job, because you know what? They need to work just to have their medicine. And many times the doctors, they don't even have sample packs anymore because the United Way and everything in Michigan is broke. And also, when it comes to Obama, when it comes to community college thing in Obama, I'm going to tell you something. I don't live too far from where he had spoken. I'm a student of Oakland Community College. I got a friend who works at Oakland Community College.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Chris on the line. Chris, go right ahead.
And I have a friend who works right at Oakland Community College when it comes to school funding. Who do you think gets that first? The teachers get a raise first, then they work on the buildings. Whatever is given to the students, we get that last. I got a friend who works at, at a community college. So Obama, all he's doing is out there, he's just blowing smoke. The school, the teachers are the ones, the teachers, the deans, they get the raises first.
Well, but you see, this is how the system is set up. I mean, basically, of course, the teachers' unions gives money to the politicians in return for the giving them higher salaries, better health care, and better pension benefits than the average worker can get. And so basically, it's simply a financial payoff. But what they have done is they've put all of our states into a situation where they're going to go bankrupt. And one of the major reasons for going bankrupt is because they can't really fulfill their pension obligations to their employees. And you had to know this was going to happen down the line. This is what happened to General Motors and Chrysler, and Ford is having real problems meeting their pension obligations. But it's far, far worse as far as the states are concerned. And here in California, you can work for 30 years, you're retired at 90% of your highest salary, and then live a life of luxury for the next 30 years and get another job and then get Social Security. So when you do retire, you're going to live like a king. But there's just not enough money to spend. This is where we're getting into problem. And this is happening certainly not only with the teaching, but with government employees here in California, with the prison employees, guards who work on the prisons. They have a dangerous job. But their union has made impossible demands, great retirement benefits. But, of course, the only way to pay them off is going to simply destroy our currency and pay them off with useless money, because there's not enough money to go around.
You know what? And the points that you are making are very, very true. And I have seen this coming for quite a while. I even tell my friends some of this stuff, and they think I'm crazy. Well, you know what? I'm not the one who's crazy. Because, you know, I already know what's going on. I don't need anybody to inform me, you know. Because, you know what? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised when you have a neurological disorder. You'd be surprised what goes on in society and how much you see. You know, you can see, like, discrimination. You can see. And when you had mentioned Germany, I'm going to tell you something. During World War II, I had family in Germany. I have actually lost family because of Nazism.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris from Michigan. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Tuesday. If you're out there across America, you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're talking with Chris in Michigan about the problems that they have over there. And, of course, the people working in the educational system there and in the colleges and in the schools, they're getting tremendous raises. They've gotten them, you know. But, of course, now suddenly, why, of course, when the state income is down, where is the money going to come to pay off the school administrators? Here in California, certainly University of California, the Santa Cruz branch of the University of California, they brought in a homosexual administrator. She was in charge of the whole campus. She was getting, I think, well over $250,000 a year. She brought her lesbian lover. She created a job for her lesbian lover at about $125,000 a year. Just created the job for her. They got lots of money for the administrators. And if anybody talks against that, why, they say, why? How are we going to get quality people if we don't pay them? Ladies and gentlemen, look and see what our kids are coming out of college believing. Certainly, we have to bring experts in a lot of fields in from other countries because they're dumbing down our students, even in these sciences. But certainly the children who go through our universities, you know, in the humanities, they come out dedicated to socialism and an intense hatred of America. And, of course, America is beginning to fall behind in so many various things. And if we didn't have the imports from China and from Japan and from India, why, we'd be having real problems with a lot of our electronic research here in the United States. And it's simply because the purpose of our educational system is not to educate, but to indoctrinate these people in sex, to indoctrinate them in morality, to indoctrinate them in socialism, and to indoctrinate them in a hatred for our way of life. Hey, Chris, anything else you want to say? We've got a couple of other callers. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Anything else you want to say?
Yes, when it comes to dumbing down with students, I'm hoping to get into dental, and when I get done with doing dental, I want to go out and be able to treat people without insurance and stuff, kind of do like missionary work. That's my goal when I get done with school. But you know what's holding me back is that, you know, even if with society, those international students, when it comes to programs in Michigan, they got first crack. Everybody else is secondary. You know how many, the nursing programs here in Michigan are jammed. There are so many people that are wanting to be nurses, and anything in medical, they're jammed.
Even here in California, you know, we actually are subsidizing people who've come to this country illegally. And, of course, we're letting them into our state universities and colleges in California at a lower rate than somebody coming from Michigan into the state of California. What's wrong with this picture? Hey, Chris, thanks much, and I hope you succeed in your effort to get out and help those people, okay? God bless you. Let's go to Kent calling from West Virginia, the number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I was just curious whether you saw the similarities. This French plane that recently crashed in the South Atlantic and the TWA Flight 800, you know, that blew up the night before the Olympics began, what, 15 years ago or so. I've been following that, and it seems like the parallels are pretty striking. They come up with all kinds of crazy stories, and, you know, it was supposedly the airspeed indicator that made this plane crash. First of all, it was lightning, and then it was an airspeed indicator. And the last I heard is they said the airspeed indicator didn't cause it, and they think it contributed, and they thought that it landed, plane didn't break up in midair, and it landed intact on a pretty well horizontal, as if the pilot was trying to land, you know, to land. And they knew it hadn't blown up in the middle air because of the way the metal was bent, you know, when it hit the water and everything. This sounds like a complete cover-up.
Well, Kent, we really don't have enough information. We do have enough flight information on that TWA Flight 800, and that was back in 1976, as I remember. It was the year after the Oklahoma City bombing, and there were over 200 people who saw the missiles go up and hit the plane, over 200 of them. Not one of them was ever allowed to testify at the National Aviation Transport, NATB, hearings. And, of course, they knew very well. They threatened the FBI. We set out to threaten these people who had seen what was going on, and they said, no, you didn't see what you think you saw. You did not see that. You're not to say that. And basically, they know, of course, that the missiles brought down TWA Flight 800. I don't know the truth of it. I don't know that they were terrorist missiles and we were covering up for the terrorists. I don't know that they were perhaps an accident, a military accident, maybe a military exercise that went wrong. We know what happened to DW-800. Unfortunately, we don't have any eyewitnesses on what happened to this French airliner. We may never know. It could have been an act of God. It could be an act of carelessness. It could be a defect in the plane. They're covering that up. We're just going to have to wait and see. And tragically, we do not have over 200 witnesses to the coming down of the French airliner, but we sure know what happened with TW-800. In fact, we actually have 2-4 tape sets on that. Excellent, of historical importance. The people who were there, the people who saw what happened, people who were in helicopters and actually saw what happened, people who were on adjacent planes saw what happened. And they were able to totally conceal the truth from the American people and cover for whoever was responsible.
Well, that's why I think, I remember that happened the night before the Olympics started. And, of course, there was a big, big hoorah about security. And I think that was, they could not allow that to, they could not admit that it, such a massive a security failure had happened. So I think they covered it up. And this thing in this French airplane, As I remember that, you know, that left from Rio, and there had been a warning about from Buenos Aires like a few days before, and I think that was a similar type of thing. They couldn't admit that they had made such a massive security failure.
Well, Kent, we really don't know. I mean, you could be right. There could be something there. It could be, I mean, maybe we're just going to have to wait and see. We may never hear the full story.
Probably won't.
Probably. Anyway, anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, thanks.
God bless. Okay, that was Kent calling. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But if you would like those, we still have those 4 tape sets of people who were really there, who saw what was happening. Many of them were in the military. And they risked their lives, their reputations, to come forward and tell the truth. And not one word of this was carried in the controlled medium. And when they had the National Air Traffic Safety Board hearings, NATSB hearings, nobody was allowed to speak. None of the people who actually had seen what had happened were allowed to speak. And so you have to understand that it was a massive, massive cover-up. And it just goes to show you how complete they control the media and how they're ultimately able to control what the American people think. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, this is exactly what is happening with the current financial collapse. And the reason, of course, that this is happening is because the major banks suddenly are in on the scam. They are going to restrict lending and, of course, collapse our economy intentionally. The small banks, of course, are being taken out of contention because the Federal Reserve Board, for the first time in history, is actually paying interest on the deposits that are deposited with them. Now, the way that our reserve banking system works is that banks have to keep on reserve $1, and then they can lend out $10. But you have to keep that $1 on deposit with the Federal Reserve System. So they hold the reserves. We have a reserve banking system. And in the past, of course, the Federal Reserve Board did not pay interest. They just held that dollar so in case a bank got into trouble with their loans, there was a run on the bank, they could, of course, come to that bank's help. But for the first time now, they've started paying interest. They actually started paying interest, I think it was on the 9th of October of last year. And what that did, it actually encouraged the small banks to put their money into the Federal Reserve System rather than lend it out. After all, a lot of the smaller banks held mortgages, and the price of those homes was falling and falling precipitously. Maybe they had a 20% down payment on the home, but if the price of the home had fallen 40%, why, of course, they were already in the hole, and they banks have to have certainly solid assets. If they don't, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company comes in and seizes the bank and gives it to one of their friends. Of course, they say that, we're going to just give it to the most outstanding company that'll do right by the depositors. But basically what you're seeing is the massive transfer of wealth. When this happens, when the FDIC comes in and seizes the bank, the people who own bonds in the bank lose. the stockholders in the bank lose, the major investors in the bank, they lose everything, and it's transferred to people who are friends of the people in government. And if you honestly think that this system is fair, who is it who's looking after the government to make sure it's fair? And there's nobody. It's like having the a herd of or a flock of wolves guarding the hen house, and nobody can figure out who's eating all the chickens. Well, this is exactly what happens when you have the government monitoring itself. And there's all sorts of corruption. Certainly, there is a Congressional Oversight Committee that actually appointed by Congress. It's the Congressional Oversight Committee on the TARP funds, and of course they've been trying to find out what happened to the TARP funds. $700 billion that was given to Henry Paulson, who was the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, where he was making $35 million a year, and he just gave up that job because he was such a patriot, and he took a job so they paid him $185,000 a year, and then he proceeded to transfer all sorts of money to his friends on Wall Street. Well, this Congressional Oversight Committee has been trying to find out what happened to the TARP funds, and they put out a report every month, and you try to find out what's happened to the TARP funds. They can't figure out what's happened to the TARP funds. They had suddenly one of these investigator general, actually, an IG investigation of this, what was happening, and the fellow actually was fired because he was trying to find out what had happened to this $700 billion. And Timothy Geithner, who incidentally member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Group of 30, Timothy Geithner says, just trust us, because he was, of course, chief of staff, I think his name is Mark Patterson, just happens to come from Goldman Sachs. Suddenly, Timothy Geithner was formerly the president of the most important Federal Reserve Bank in the entire country, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. If you read that article in Rolling Stones, came out this last month, it's well worthwhile reading. The language in it is not perhaps up to par, but the facts, I think, are really very accurate. And basically, it points out that the man who succeeded Timothy Geithner as president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City just happened to come from Goldman Sachs and held a lot of their stock. In fact, while he was, of course, in this bank, which was regulating the banking system, he was buying more stock in Goldman Sachs. Well, he was, of course, forced to step down. He was replaced by a gentleman, and his name escapes me, but it's in the article. And where do you think he came from? Why government Sachs? I mean, Goldman Sachs. It's not a question, does the government control Goldman Sachs, but does Goldman Sachs control the government? The real question is, why doesn't anybody ever mention that the CEO of Goldman Sachs is a member of the Trilateral Commission, as was, of course, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, at least he was within the last year or so, a member of the Trilateral Commission, has the people who control Citigroup, that we, I don't know how many billions of dollars, I think we've given them $60 or $80 billion of TARP funds into the Citigroup. And, of course, the fellow who was running the AIG was transferring all this money to the people on Wall Street, just happened to come from Goldman Sachs. He's resigned, but, of course, I suspect the fellow who's going to replace him will have strong ties to the Brotherhood of Darkness. And they're seeing the most massive transfer of wealth ever recorded in human history to taking place today. And the average person is not allowed to understand about this because they control the media. They control television. They keep us focused on all the wrong issues, the Sotomayor hearings that are taking place, as if we expect that she's going to get up and tell us the truth. I mean, there's so many things that she's been involved in that are frankly racist, and she's a believer in international law. Nobody ever asks her where the law comes from. She says, oh, the purpose of a Supreme Court judge is to apply the law, but nobody's ever asked her, what is the law? She has said publicly that she thinks we should rely upon international law rather than the Constitution. She is not fit to be a Supreme Court justice, but you're never going to hear these facts brought out at the Supreme Court, at the hearings before the Senate. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all rhetoric over reality. It is a diversion, so we will not talk about the really important things. The coming war with Iran, the coming collapse of the of the stock market and, of course, of the value of the American dollar and, of course, of the chaos and crisis that is coming to the entire world as the whole world economy continues to contract. While Goldman Sachs this year is going to be paying out $20 billion in bonuses to its employees because they're doing such a great job of not lending money to businesses. And, of course, J.P. Morgan Chase doesn't have any money to lend to the businesses, but it has plenty of money to pay $11 billion for its bonuses. And then, of course, AIG, which, of course, has received over $160 or $180 billion from the government. And, of course, $180 billion it's received from our government. And but they're going to pay their executives who created this mess that could probably cost the American government $2 to $5 trillion more because they have all these derivatives out there. And they're going to simply go ahead and pay them off. And where are they going to get the money? They don't have any money, but they're too big to fail. We're just going to have to give them the money. If we don't give them the money, the whole financial system will come down. So we've just got to give them the money. But they want to now pay these executives who created this problem $200 million this year for the fine job they've done. And where is the outcry from the American people? Why doesn't somebody say that these people who bankrupted AIG and have already got over $180 billion from the American taxpayer and have simply transferred tens of billions of that dollars of that to their friends on Wall Street? These people don't deserve to get bonuses. They deserve to be fired. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and would certainly like to hear from you. What do you think about what's going on? What do you think about the financial situation? Do you think that the Obama administration is really trying, or is a lot of this simply to confuse us? Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm doing good.
I have a quick question or comment.
Quick question. Okay, so now, do you think that if they hadn't repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, any of this could have happened because there would have been the separation between the commercial banks and the...
Hold that thought. We'll be back on the air in just a moment here as soon as we take this quick break.
Okay.
All right, John, you asked about the Glass-Steagall Act. I think this was one of many, many things that was actually done in preparation for what's coming down the line. Certainly, I think that they had to repeal the usury laws.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
things, but it also simply let them expand their derivative sales, and with the expansion of the derivative sales, the ultimate bubble, which is going to bring down the whole world financial system. You're talking about somewhere between 700 trillion and 1.25 quadrillion dollars derivatives. You haven't seen anything yet, John. Pardon me, Mark, we're out of time.
That's okay.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling. Okay, fine. Well, that was John calling from Spokane, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there, and just if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you because, well, we need to support our 60 or more outlets we have all across the country. And if you become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you're helping us to maintain what we have now. And believe me, we are reaching people not only all across America, but all across the world with the truth. And the truth is that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a financial battlefield, and there really are secret societies, but behind all of them is this age-old quest for a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. So if you'd like, of course, to get our explanation of how this fits together, three talks, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Incidentally, the book has been republished. I was at the Christian Booksellers Book Club over the weekend. The Christian Booksellers Book Conference held in Denver. I was there yesterday and the day before, and I just got in this evening from there. And, of course, but the book is now, I think, 18th bestseller on this one major Christian distributor with over 230 major publishers, and Brotherhood of Darkness is number 16 of all the books they're distributing right now. I think 16 or 18. Anyway, it's doing real well. But you can get the talk or the book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It explains to you how this whole thing works. It explains to you how they created this image. It's all the Catholics or all the Jesuits or all the Jews. They always have their favorite diversion to keep your attention away from who's really behind what's going on. And then, of course, I have my talk on the forbidden secret. There is a secret. Been passed down for 5,000 years. And it was worth your life ever to discuss this. In fact, people would not mention this for fear, of course, it would bring tremendous reprisals against them until recently. And now they talk about it all the time, and most people don't even know what they're talking about. And, of course, it's infiltrated the Christian church with all sorts of Christian mysticism and contemplative prayer and on all of these efforts to alter our state of consciousness, of course, opening us up for a truly demonic possession. And then, of course, our third talk on the financial Armageddon. Now there's a syllabus with each one of these. There's actually a syllabus on the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And as the old adage goes, you can't tell the players without a program, and we provided you with a program. There's a syllabus with the forbidden secret. There's a syllabus with the financial Armageddon. Important speeches, important information you won't get elsewhere. In fact, we have Alan Greenspan's classic article, Gold and Freedom. You need to read it. You need to understand what Alan Greenspan really believes, because he is the primary architect of this whole collapse of our economic system. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website is RadioLiberty.com. Of course, you can go there and you can actually listen to our programs 5 hours a day live. You can hear our programs 9 hours a day on the satellite feed, certainly on MP3, on blog. Our programs are archived. Get the programs, understand what's going on. Begin making preparations for what you're going to do when they tell you you're going to have to take a mandatory vaccine for the influenza, this so-called swine flu influenza. Where did it come from? Well, you want to hear our special guest tomorrow evening, who's going to talk about where did the swine flu virus come from. And then please pray for America and for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Major Jim Lindsay. Now, Jim is actually retired as a chaplain from the U.S. military, just out of the military. But we want to talk to him about, of course, what he's going to be doing, what his plans are for the future. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Monteith. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
So thank you for good having to be... me on your program. I'm very honored. And on behalf of many military men and women, I want to greet you and tell you they appreciate your support and your ministry to them.
Well, Sydney, where were you in your tour? Were you overseas or were you here in this country?
Well, during the last tour, the last 2 years, I was at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., ministering to patients there. At Fort Dix, I initiated and pastored a joint military, joint national, interdenominational worship service with a British Army Anglican chaplain who officiated with me and a Syrian Orthodox chaplain. We had American and British troops attending and up to 150 on a weekly basis. And at Walter Reed, I ministered to many wounded warriors coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. And I've seen so many unfortunate situations, soldiers with no limbs, brain injuries, and all kinds of trauma that they've gone through.
Well, I'm sure that war is hell. That's what General Sherman said, and I certainly believe it. And I'm just glad you were there to meet their spiritual needs. Well, tell us now, what does the future hold for you? Do you have a plan that you're going to go into some sort of evangelism?
Well, yes. And this includes speaking in churches across America. But one of the biggest projects that I'm working with, I've assembled a team of military chaplains, British and American, from most Protestant denominations, and we have produced the most contemporary and accurate update of the King James Version. And about 6 English professors are proofreading it right now, and we plan to publish this fall sometime. This includes leadership tools to help military leaders, corporate leaders, religious leaders, family leaders, anyone who wants to be a better leader. We've got the leadership tools in this, so we're calling this the Leader's Bible. It includes military photos from archives, from from the 1800s to the current time to highlight Chapman Ministries. And many helps, such as the Military Code of Conduct, Armed Forces Core Values, a Military Family Reunification Brief to help troops transition back to their civilian life with their families and wives, husbands. We are going to have the Trinity Color Letter Edition with Jesus' words in red, God's words in blue, and the Holy Spirit's words in green. And people can find out more about this at leadersbible.com. And one of the programs that I'm working with major corporations across America is the Veteran Mentorship Program. Our role with Military Bible Association, which will publish the Leader's Bible, is to help get the word out about the Veteran Mentorship Program and refer severely wounded warriors from Afghanistan and Iraq to those who are providing the mentors from these corporations. And they will provide one-on-one relationships with the wounded warriors, train them in putting together resumes, develop long-range goals, enhance their capacity to cope in society.
Hold that thought, Jim. We'll be right back in just a moment with Major Jim James Lindsay, retired. Well, James, this sounds like quite an undertaking, but where are you going to get the finances for it? Because that's the big thing in anything of this sort, is to raise the funds to be able to do this.
Well, that's actually my goal, is to raise funds from organizations and churches and individuals who will partner with us. And we'd like to donate hundreds of thousands of copies to the troops.
Well, certainly I think this is very, very important. The tragedy is that it seems that so often when the men come back, and of course they get out of the hospital, and then they try to get Veterans Administration care. Now, Chris, I'm sure you're dealing with the regular Army, but that's entirely different when people get into the Veterans Administration. What's the cutoff between military care with at Walter Reed and going into the Veterans Hospitals? When are you eligible for care in an Army hospital? When are you eligible for care in a Veterans Hospital?
Well, when they go to the military hospitals, they are given so much rehabilitation until they are ready, until doctors feel they are ready to transition to the VA. And during their stay in the military hospitals, their compensation package is developed and determined by the VA. And when they have it all together, it's called the Medical Evaluation Board and the Physical Evaluation Board, two different processes. And the Physical Evaluation Board is when their compensation packet is actually determined after they are medically evaluated. And sometimes it's up to a year long that they go through the Medical Evaluation Board, or longer, sometimes a year and a half.
Well, we heard sometimes that the Veterans Administration just sort of routine turns people down, that there are 400,000 or 500,000 veterans, trying to get Veterans Administration compensation or disability payments. They're a tremendous backlog. Have you run into this?
I've heard quite a bit about it. There is a tremendous backlog, and many are turned down, unfortunately. They prioritize and they give the priority to those who are most wounded. But they are given a second look when soldiers appeal the process. If they're not satisfied with the outcome, they can appeal. And often they will get something if they appeal.
Well, of course, but you have to appeal through the same system of courts that turns you down in the first place. And these are not courts. These are not a court with a judge and a jury. There's just an administrator appointed by the Veterans Administration. Hold on. We'll be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Major Lindsay was just telling us about the Veterans Administration process and a large backlog of veterans out there trying to get veterans' benefits. And are you going to be able to help any of these veterans as far as getting their benefits at all once they get into the system? Or is your primary job going to be to try to get this Bible put together?
My primary job with Military Bible Association is to raise funds from corporations and churches and individuals who will partner with us. So we can donate hundreds of thousands of the military chaplain's leader's Bible to troops serving overseas and here in America getting ready to deploy. And there's nothing like having a military chaplain's leader's Bible that the troops can have in their pockets as a symbol of the military chaplain being with them.
Well, no, we've heard, you know, my friend who's a retired Marine Corps colonel, who says that they have actually come up with some sort of regulation that the military chaplains were no longer allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Was this a factor when you were in the military?
Well, yes and no. When I first came in, I was in the Air Force, and the guidance from the Air Force Chief of Chaplains back in the late 80s and early 90s was, if you pray in Jesus' name, then preface your prayer stating that you will be praying, such as, I'll be praying according to my faith tradition, and then it was okay to pray in Jesus' name. Now we've gotten to the point where in a public ceremony, they don't even want you praying in Jesus' name, no matter how you preface it. So there is a big clamping down on this, which I believe is constitutionally wrong. And actually, with our friend Gordon Klingenschmitt's case, the Secretary of Defense has overturned what was done to him. So if he did that today in the military, he'd be protected. So there's really a good turnabout here. But there still is a big clamping down on praying in Jesus' name at public ceremonies, which they can't tell a chaplain he can't do that. You can. Now, they don't have to invite the chaplain to pray, but the chaplain has that right because we are endorsed to represent our faith traditions 100% according to military regulations.
But, of course, if you were to do that and be chastised for it, it could really end an opportunity for military advancement. Don't you think that they've put a chill into many of the chaplains, frightening them into really sort of going along with the flow? Why rock the boat if you want to get promoted?
Yes, there's a lot of arm twisting, I believe, and I believe it's wrong. A chaplain will be blackballed, blacklisted, and silently hurt for promotions if he prays in Jesus' name at public ceremonies. Now, when it comes to your Protestant your Protestant services on the base, no one gives you any trouble for praying in Jesus' name in a Christian church worship service, but we're simply talking about the public ceremonies where a chaplain does have the right to pray in Jesus' name, but that's where they're being discriminated against, and it's wrong.
It certainly is. Well, I share your concern. I'm sure many of the military chaplains feel very strongly about this, but they're trapped in a system dictated by people in administration who have a different agenda. This is my concern, because I think that there is an anti-Christian agenda being imposed on our military, just as there is in our schools, as there is in our courts, and certainly I'm really very, very concerned about that.
Well, you are completely correct. There is a strong anti-Christian sentiment that is growing, unfortunately. You've got various organizations, civilian groups, who are coming in against the evangelical Christians and freedom of religion in the military. And we at the Military Bible Association, which is a brand new organization with partner support, we will be able to come against this onslaught against evangelical Christianity as we promote the leader's Bible. But this is our agenda, to promote spiritual support for the troops and the freedom of religion. This is the backbone of what we stand for.
Well, Cindy, I wish you well. I think it's a great idea. I just hope that you can have an impact and that you can find the major corporations that will back you. So many of the major corporations seem to be, however, on the other side. So many of the people with the great wealth, so many of the great tax-exempt foundations seem to be in the other camp. a strongly anti-Christian. So I'll be very interested in following the progress of your efforts, first of all, to get the Bible published, and then, of course, to be able to, of course, distribute the Bible to the troops. What about the morale of our troops? I mean, are these people coming back? How do they feel about the war? Do they question, you know, whether we ever should have gone into Afghanistan and why we never tried to get Osama bin Laden? Have they ever questioned why we went into Iraq and whether we have a right to invade a country because we don't like the leader? And of course, why, after all these years of war, things are still increasingly growing increasingly chaotic in Iraq, and then the prospect of a war with Iran coming and looming suddenly in the distance, and when it's coming, I don't know, but everything I've seen suggests that it's only a matter of time. It would appear that the American people are being conditioned to hate Iran and prepare for war. How do the military feel about this?
Well, there is a growing concern among our troops that I've been hearing a lot about. You don't hear much about it, actually, from the media. Many sources don't talk about it and don't voice our troops' concerns. But this is one reason why the suicide rates have gone up dramatically. Last year, we've had 115 suicide attempts. This year, we've had nearly 100 in the first half of our year already. So the rate is up. Committing suicide is a way of saying no to going to war and supporting the administration's agenda in Afghanistan and Iraq and possibly Iran. It's their way of saying no without being punished, because they're killing themselves.
Well, of course, that's a pretty inefficient means of doing it. I mean, are there any other things? If you speak out, however, against the government's policy, why, of course, you're subject to discipline or perhaps something even far worse.
And that is happening today. I've heard numerous troops share with me and others their concern about what's happening, why and how we are being used in Iraq and Afghanistan. Many feel that they are mercenaries for somebody else's war. Many troops feel that the agenda is oil. It's a racket. It's a money-making racket for the corporate executives who own stock in the corporations who make the bullets, the armor, the tanks, the machinery for conducting war. It's a moneymaker for the banks who loan the money to the government. I'm just a military retired chaplain. My job is military support for religious needs. But see, this is why we need the leader's Bible from military chaplains to be with these troops going through this trauma. Many are coming back with PTSD because they're in shock with what they're seeing, experiencing, killing children over there, killing women, killing innocent civilians, and sometimes they're ordered to do so. And then they're being court-martialed for doing that and going to prison for doing what they were told to do. And this is wrong. If we're going to fight a war, war is not always just. And I don't justify unjustifiable wars. But if they're told to do something, if they're told to fight a war, let's not punish them for doing what they were told.
I certainly agree with you, Jim. I think that the young people, idealistic, many of them, when they go in, really believing what they were doing, and then they're put into this impossible situation, and you never know who your enemy is. And suddenly,
exactly. And at Walter Reed, I have ministered to many disillusioned troops, Marines, sailors, airmen, and soldiers. Now, on the flip side, you've got many who are willing to go back because they believe they are fighting for God and country over there. And we need to support them. They're doing what Uncle Sam called them to do. What we are called to do with Military Bible Association and the Military Chaplain's Leader's Bible is to minister to every soldier, airman, Marine, Coast Guardsman, no matter what they're going through, we are there for all of them to support them, regardless of what their perspectives are. And
how do you, really, ministers of a man, certainly, who really has begun to lose his vision, his hope, his belief that, you know, that is a just war? I mean, how can you, as a military chaplain, convince that man that what he thinks is wrong is right? Or do you try to convince him what he thinks is wrong is right?
No, because we are not political agents for the government to convince them that they're doing the right thing by going. Our job as military chaplains, and that's a good question, our job is simply to listen to them, to counsel them, give them a shoulder to cry on, minister the word of God to them, pray with them, and if opportunity opens up, lead them to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's strictly religious support, ministering Jesus' love to them and the word of God.
All right.
We need more military chaplains. There are many, many military chaplains who have left when the war started because they don't want to serve in war. And I think that's really a cop-out, because if God called a minister to be a chaplain, then we need to go to Iraq and Afghanistan with the troops to be there for them, to be their pastor.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Major Jim Lindsay, retired, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, Jim Lindsay is trying to get together a chaplain's Bible, a leadership Bible that he hopes will have a profound effect on our military. Well, Jim, go right ahead with your thoughts on this. Is there a shortage of military chaplains at the present time?
Yes.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Are disheartened and rather disillusioned after what they've seen. Some of them, of course, are very enthusiastic and want to go back. But, of course, others begin to question what's it really all about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you have a question for Major Lindsay, why, Sidney, he's been on the front lines dealing with our people, and of course his job now is to put together this Bible. And is it all ready now for printing and circulation?
It's in the final stages of being proofread by English professors, and hopefully by September we will have it ready and published. People can find out more about it at leadersbible.com, and can send a comment to us to ask questions. We have a homepage up. We'll be getting more information on the site in the next 2 weeks. We need organizations, churches, and individuals to partner with us or become members of Military Bible Association to help us get hundreds of thousands of these to the troops, prisons, and university campuses. And never before has a team of military chaplains done a work like this. This will be very powerful as a symbol of not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's Word, but the presence of military chaplains, a symbol of that going with the troops wherever they go.
Well, now, of course, what has changed as far as the King James Version of the Bible? Have they changed the wording of this or what?
No. What we did was we have, this contains, first of all, let me say, it's the most contemporary update in that there are fewer archaic words than any other update, such as the New King James Version or the Revised Standard Version, which is an update. And there are many other updates. People simply aren't aware that they are updates. We believe it's the most accurate in that we don't diverge from the King James Version at one point. When we through the process of translation and updating the Elizabethan English, with the principle of literal equivalency, substitute an archaic word, such as succor, which means help. We'll put the word help there, because it means exactly the same thing. This helps the reader today to understand what William Tyndale was saying when he translated from the Textus Receptus. We are true to the Textus Receptus. We do not diverge anywhere.
Okay.
I like the New King James Version, but it is criticized because it does diverge once in a while from the Textus Receptus. It's still an excellent translation, but we simply have decided to stay with the King James Version 100% no matter what. And we believe that this will gain a big following.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, how different is your translation from the Tyndale Bible? When was the Tyndale Bible actually translated, do you recall? Wasn't this, 1400s, somewhere in there?
The 1500s,
I believe. The 1500s, okay.
He did his first one in the 1520s, and between then and about 1534, he had updated his own through the course of 10 or 15 years. But it was his final one was approximately 1534, if I recall correctly.
Okay, fine. First, putting the Bible into English was really one of the great, great advantages, that way that the common man could actually begin to read it. There was an earlier Bible, of course, that and I think they actually executed the man who did the first English translation, didn't they? What was his name?
Well, they executed William Tyndale for what he did.
Oh, they did, okay.
His was the first English one, if I recall correctly, and the Douay Bible, the Bishop's Bible, there were numerous other ones that followed William Tyndale. Now, the King James Version, as the first King James Version was produced in 1611. It was based on William Tyndale's work. It was incorporated into the Anglican minister's work in producing the King James Version, 1611. But that's not what we are using today. We're using today the 1769 update of the 1611 update.
It gets pretty complicated for those of us who are not biblical scholars, but we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest, Major Jim Lindsay, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Good luck to your thoughts on the things we're talking about. Love to hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, Major Jim Lindsay. We're talking certainly about his work in the military and, of course, the work he's going to do now that he's out of the military. Jim, whatever happened to that book that you wrote? Have you ever gotten that published?
Moral Leadership?
Yes. Well, no, it was a book. It was really on the history of the world and this move towards the New World Order.
Oh, America and the New World Order.
Yes. I'll hold that thought for just a minute. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly I was just asking Major Lindsay about the book he'd written about America and the New World Order. Did that book ever get published?
No, not yet. Now that I've retired last month, I'll be able to pursue publishing that. And it deals with three things: the New World Order, the Federal Reserve Corporation, and illegal immigration, the three pillars, the three strongest pillars that are designed to tear down America.
Well, I certainly agree with you. It's a very readable book. Well, I'm looking forward to it actually getting it into print. Now, before we go on, first of all, I'll give out a number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly Major Lindsay represents the Chaplain Corps, or at least what he was a member of that. Now he's retired, but he's still dedicated to the basic precepts of a strong chaplaincy within our military. Would you like to get out your website, any information that you, so people could contact you if they'd like to?
Yes, thank you. info@militarybibleassociation.com is our email address, info@militarybibleassociation.com. Our website is leadersbible.com or militarybibleassociation.com. They both point to the same website. Leadersbible.com is easier to remember.
All right, fine. Now, are there other chaplains who are part of the organization? Who is the organization as such?
Well, you'd be pleased to know that retired chaplain Colonel Jim Ammerman is my vice president.
Well, he's a good friend and a wonderful man. Is he retired now? He's finally got retired, huh?
Yes, and he has founded Chaplaincy of Full Gospel Churches years ago, and he is one of the largest endorsing agencies for the military chaplaincy. And he is also the founding chairman of International Conference of Evangelical Christian Endorsers. And he is just a dynamite man. He is recruiting a director for Chaplaincy of Full Gospel Churches to help fill in the shoes for him because he's busy traveling America still. God's not done with him. He travels and visits his chaplains and speaks for conferences and churches. He's my mentor, and I'm very pleased that he is helping me spearhead the Leader's Bible and Military Bible Association.
All right, well, Colonel Ammerman's an old friend of mine. I certainly am glad that he's working with you and helping you. And I think he's had a profound impact. He's been he retired as a full Army colonel. And,
yes.
And certainly has done a tremendous job of recruiting men into the chaplaincy. But certainly the people are not going to the chaplaincy as they used to. This is one of the big problems. You've really got to be very dedicated to really want to give up your so much of your freedom to have the discipline of the military. Suddenly you have security, but that isn't also necessarily all that important. Sometimes you really want to be able to express yourself, and there are certainly some limitations within the military as far as your ability to voice your opinion. For instance, I would not be very welcome with the military with many, my strong views. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So where do you go from here, Jim? What's the next step?
Well, to further answer your question about military chaplains involved, we do have about 15 military chaplains on our translation committee who've worked with me in producing the Leader's Bible. The technical name for this version, we believe we're going with the name New Authorized English Version, but the Leader's Bible has all the tools, the leadership tools with it, and we're also going to produce the Leader's Bible with the original King James Version for those who want to stick with the exact wording of the King James Version itself, even though ours is accurate. An accurate update of it. We're going to be producing the Leader's Bible edition of both. But we are getting interest from many military chaplains in the Leader's Bible who are interested in promoting this and actually using this and purchasing this with their troops. We have what we call the Military Chaplain Outreach Fund, and providing these Leader's Bible Desert Camouflage to begin with, at a discount of about $2 each in shipments of at least 100. Military chaplains can order these for their troops, their airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, sailors. And we'll be producing additions for the Navy, the Coast Guard, Marines, Air Force, and Army, Navy, with covers for each of the services.
Well, Jim, certainly you were in the military for how long?
Nearly 24 years. Well, actually, 23 years and 8 months.
What about the attitude of our servicemen towards God and towards Christianity? Do you think that there is a growing awareness? Do you think that there is a drifting away of so many of our young people away from that? Certainly, they're the victims of an educational system here in the United States that is, frankly, anti-Christian. They're the victims of an entertainment industry that is anti-Christian on television and certainly in Hollywood. So basically, over this 24-year period, you were in the military. What has changed, or has been a change, as far as the young people and their relationship and their search for a personal relationship with our Lord?
Well, starting with a secular society, there does seem to be a drifting away, and that's why we need the Military Chaplain's Leader's Bible in our prisons and on our university campuses. We want to work with university chaplains and prison chaplains because we don't want to forsake and neglect them. But regarding the military, I've got some good news. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, and Marines are finding God in the military. They find discipline, they find respect, they learn to give respect, and they gain an understanding and respect for God and country, and the two go hand in hand. And atheistic military personnel are rare. There is a turning to God in the military, so that's the good thing. I would say, now this is me talking, there are many liberals who would disagree with me, and of course I'm not politically correct and I don't want to be because I don't want to go off into error. Because politically correct people are often in error and forsake truth for political expediency. But I do believe that the military is the last bastion for religious freedom in America. Even though there's a crackdown on praying in Jesus' name, still, religious freedom is much more rampant than outside the military. And there's a great coming to God, and there's more of a respect for God in the military. And so that's the good news.
All right, fine. Certainly our friend Colonel Ray, Ron Ray, told us, his experience of dealing with David Horowitz, who was a trained communist, came from a communist family, was called a red diaper baby, eventually, of course, became a conservative, but in testifying before a congressional committee Colonel Ray was part of, about the communist infiltration of every aspect of our society, and what David Horowitz had said is the one thing that they weren't able to infiltrate and destroy the religious belief of the people was the military, and that's why, of course, they were working for gays in the military and women in the military. They felt that if they could introduce homosexuality into command position, if they could introduce women in combat in the military, then they'd be able to demoralize the military. Doesn't sound like they've succeeded, at least completely yet, although apparently the Obama administration is doing everything they can to do away with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell a program that was popularized during the early Clinton years.
Yes. No, they failed. The military resents any attempt to promote homosexuality in the military. There's strong stand against that and resentment toward the leftists who are trying to promote this gay agenda in the military. This is just abominable. And if this were to happen, our military would find defeat in any war, because the first thing to go before military defeat is the decline of morality. We see this in every empire throughout world history.
I think you're actually right. In fact, one of the few things I ever did really was important was sort of it really occurred as sort of a fluke, but there was a church ministry in Southern California that wanted to put together a video. It was in the early 1990s. It was called The Gay Agenda. And they couldn't find anybody foolish enough to give a medical profession, so they flew a film crew up to my home in Santa Cruz and asked me simply to give the medical view of homosexuality, which I did. They put out a video that sold hundreds of thousands of copies. Of course, I didn't get any compensation for it. But the significant thing was that this was given to every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all of the generals and the Marine Corps and the military. And when Bill Clinton wanted, of course, to introduce homosexuality to the military just said, we will not allow it. And it was that one video that probably more than anything else really influenced the course of our nation. Of course, we've got hundreds of hate calls as a result of it. They actually destroyed the lives of everybody else who was involved in putting together that video. But for some reason, God did protect us, and we're still here. But that the gay agenda probably had more of an impact on preserving the integrity of the military and preventing the open embracement of homosexuality, which is what Bill Clinton, of course, wanted. And at least that policy is still here. I don't like don't ask, don't tell, but at least it maintained the stability of our military forces, which the military people realized, of course, how totally demoralizing that would be. It was part of the communist agenda, and at least that part failed.
Promoting homosexuality in the military does nothing to serve the mission of what the military is all about. The military's agenda, what we are for, is to go and defend America, defend our shores, defend our airspace. What does homosexuality have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. All it's going to do is bring immorality, bring confusion, bring hurt, the destruction of the human soul of military personnel. Because when you engage in illicit behavior, destructive, self-destructive behavior, self-abuse, abusing other people, how does this help the military fight and win wars? Absolutely nothing. It doesn't belong in the military. What people do in their bedrooms behind locked doors, that's their business. But it doesn't belong in open society. It doesn't belong in the realm of human behavior, period, because it's immoral, and God doesn't condone it. And the Bible doesn't condone it. Those who engage in such behavior are damned to hell if they don't repent. And fortunately, we do have a loving Savior who does forgive, who does heal the broken heart, the broken spirit, but that's what homosexuality does. It hurts the human spirit because it's destructive. As any sin is destructive. I'm not picking just on homosexuality. Any sin is destructive. I love the homosexual. God loves the homosexual. Jesus died for the homosexual. We need to reach out to them. So no, we don't hate them. We love them, and we want to help them see the light.
All right, well, let's go. We have Mario calling us from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Mario. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's getting pretty late back there. We're glad you're up listening to us. Do you have a question or comment for our listener?
Yes, I wanted to ask about when Dr. Stan brought up homosexuality in the leadership in the military and the agenda to push women in combat in the military. I wanted to hear you comment on the latter part of that, because you commented on the homosexuality in the military, but what about it seems to me that is the issue of women in combat is a question that it's almost like a don't ask, don't tell of its own. Nobody ever talks about it.
Well, I think let's get to Major Lindsay's remarks. What about women in combat, the military? Certainly, there are many women that serve in the military, and they do a lot of useful jobs. But what about women in combat in the military?
Well, this is a political correct issue, and again, I don't subscribe to political correctness because that's bogus. I believe that what makes the military function better is having women in their own units separate from men, where men can be men and women can be women under female drill sergeants, under women leadership, and men under a manly leadership, not taking orders from a woman. I just don't believe that is helpful to morale of men.
And I think basically, of course, Mario, it is totally destructive to the efficiency of a military unit. The Russians used it during the Second World War, and it was a disaster. And certainly the Israelis tried it for a time, and they've given it up. I mean, women do not belong in combat units. And familiarity breeds contempt, and children. It's the oldest adage in the world. Men and women
are different. I agree with that, but I just never hear anybody really talk about it.
Well, that's why this is why you listen to Radio Liberty, because we'll talk about the things that nobody else will talk about.
I don't believe that women should go to combat either. And actually, our policy is that they don't. They go to Iraq, they go to Afghanistan, but they are not put on in the squads going into where they're shooting and blowing up things.
And I'll never forget when that story of Jessica Lynch came out. I don't know if you remember it, Mario,
yes,
but
they
came out with this story. The Army frankly lied. They had this woman out there shooting and killing and everybody until she finally ran out of bullets. And then it was all a lie.
Well,
the military lies routinely about things like the murder of Pat Tillman with three bullet holes in the center of his forehead, and the doctor examined him and said, he was murdered, and we want an investigation, and the military covered it up. I wonder why. Hey, we're just about out of time. Anything else you want to say, Mario?
Yeah, I wanted to say real quickly, I think that goes along with the Bible because it says that a husband should be willing to die for his wife.
Right.
And it doesn't say the same about the wife.
Right. Well, I think there a lot of wives would die for their husbands, but women do not believe in belong in combat. There is a conscious effort to destroy our military. They're doing a pretty good job of it. But thank goodness more and more of these people are turning back to God. So anyway, God bless you. Thank you so much, Mario. And you just get those other people back there in Flint listening, will you?
Okay,
good
I
night.
Will.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Myron.
We'll bring it to Peter in just a moment here. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, we're just about out of time. Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Rome and Great Britain had a significant, a similar number of major military bases throughout the world before their nation went into decline, and Major Lindsay was simply suggesting that maybe this is the fate of America. All we can do is watch and see, but we have an empire. The American people haven't been told, and empires do not survive. America is a great nation, but we have people in positions of power who have a different agenda, whose loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream. Peter, we got to go. We're out of time. God bless.
I know you do. Hey, God bless our troops. God bless, again, both you gentlemen. And, again, our troops need our moral guidance. They need to listen to Radio Liberty, and more than anything, they need the love of God and Jesus Christ. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Peter.
Amen to that, and I agree with you totally. And Jim, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Thanks so very much. Keep us abreast of how your project is going.
Okay, and thank you for having me. My views were my own, not the military's. I'll say that.
Fine. Give our best to Colonel Hammerman next time you talk to him, okay?
I will.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. That was a major... Jim Lindsay, just out of the military now. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out all across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, why, of course, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're not in a position to help us financially, tell others about our internet programs or our shortwave programs or our satellite programs, and you can find them at our website at radioliberty.com, and you can find out all about all the various programs that we do on a regular basis. So, again, go to our website, radioliberty.com. There may be radio stations in your area that carry the programs. Remember, it's an expensive thing. I wish we had stations in every community across America, but if God wanted them there, they'd be there. But we do have the miracle of the Internet at radioliberty.com. We have the miracle of shortwave 3 hours a day. And then, of course, we have the miracle of satellite, a small, inexpensive satellite set will pull us down. Our own program is 9 hours a day. And then, of course, on our little network with Joyce Riley, Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer, Pastor Butch Palm, why we're reaching people all over the world. So if you'd like to become part of our effort to tell people about the spiritual battle that's going on today, again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You'll certainly want to be listening tomorrow evening when we talk to an investigative reporter on the origin of the H5N1 virus. That'll be at our early hour. That's at 8 o'clock Pacific time. And then, of course, we'll be having Barbara Lowe Fisher on Friday. She's one of the world's leading experts on vaccines. She's been at this for 25 years since her son, perfectly healthy son, took a DPT shot 25 years ago and suddenly became autistic. And she's on the front lines of this battle. Very wonderful woman. We're pleased to have her as our guest, of course, this coming Friday. So you want to be sure to listen to Radio Liberty. You need to get our information on vaccines, the DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development, the 4 tape sets, Vaccination and Vaccine Update. This is a 4 CD set, Vaccine Update 2009. We carry the book, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? autism and vaccines. The vaccine safety manuals are all by Neil Miller. We have Dr. Sherry Tenpenner's material. If you want to get the information, we'll very soon have a four-tape set on the swine flu vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, you should not take it. What are they up to? Why are they trying to tell us this is such a deadly virus when, of course, more people die every day from malaria, which is preventable, than die from this terrible disease in its entirety? From the mountain to the prairie.